Deathland's got radio gear. Pick him up and talk late at night. Can't see me when I talk. Listen here.
Ryan took it, warm from the boss's hand.
Huh. How's it work?
Oh, easy. Buttons marked. Auto search, talk, and listen.
Tuner. Range?
Oh, yeah.
For a moment, Ryan glimpsed something of the old Larry Zapp, a technical genius and a hustler. Before the drugs pulped his brain.
About 3,000, 4,000 miles. Old days wouldn't have been anything. Airwaves jammed and crowded and packed and filled and... Oh, but now the skies are as clear as a child's smile. Here, take it.
Thanks.
Ryan slipped it into his coat pocket, his fingers again brushing the torn piece of paper with its cryptic message.
Sorry, Ryan.
A gobbet of a tear glistened on the man's unshaven cheek.
Never apologize, Larry. Trader used to say it was a sign of weakness.
Yeah, that good old Trader was right.
Now he was busy again, pouring something from a vial onto a piece of metal foil and lighting a burner under it. He leaned over and inhaled the acrid fumes.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan turned away, his mind racing as he tried to figure out a plan that would get them away from the murderous trap. Behind him, he heard the noise of the elevator moving, gears humming, the thick cables vibrating. He eased his hand onto the butt of the Sig Sauer and waited. Boss Larry was slumped over his bench, oblivious to anything.
I wondered if I might find you here.
Traven stepped out into the room with one of his young men and two of the girls. A brace of armed SecMen were behind him, blasters already drawn.
Just leaving.
The room was too dark for the mirrored jacket to look its best, but the diminutive figure was still impressive.
Don't think so, Ryan.
What was that?
Lard Ash been dribbling off at the mouth.
Ryan left his hand where it was, ready for a last whirlwind firefight. He looked at the faces of Traven's companions. The odd androgynous look, the narrow, flat eyes, totally without expression, reminded Ryan of the dead eyes of the great white shark that he'd once seen. There was nothing as overt as hostility, just a blankness, a pinched and corrupt disinterest.
He said I'd be happier if you and your crew were some other place?
Yeah, we're going today.
Where?
Some other place.
Traven spread his hands like a haggling merchant.
Some other place. I think we should stop all this shit.
Go ahead.
I'm clever, Ryan Carter, taking this over. Don't need a blaster or a blade. Just this up here.
He tapped his narrow forehead.
My posse does what I say. They give me all the pleasing I want. And now I want your son.
Why?
Because I want him, just that. I could get Larry to have you all executed. But there's an easier way.
Tell me.
Walk. You, the black woman, the redhead, the gun freak, and the old one. Walk out the gates into the daylight and leave the little boy. I truly want him very badly.
My son.
Sure.
I need to talk about it, Traven.
Oh, sure. Buy time. You can't spend it. Life costs in minutes and hours. Then your account runs out, and there's no more Jack beating in your chest.
I'll tell you my decision tomorrow morning.
Traven smiled.
Same time, same place.
He half bowed.
Y'all have a nice day.
Ryan left the gloomy chamber. The only sound, the muffled sobbing of Boss Larry Zapp. Kelly was sitting on a low wall around a display of ornamental cacti. He saw Ryan come out of center point and stood.
What did Traven want?
Larry, you mean?
No. Boss is sinking real fast. You think he's maybe waving? And you find out the poor fat bastard's drowning.
Traven wants us all to leave.
Your kid?
No. He wants Dean left behind.
Kelly nodded.
Thought so. You gonna run for it? Hard to get out, I tell you.
Ryan's policy in life wasn't to trust anyone too far. The exceptions were Christy, JB, Doc, Mildred, and Jack Lauren. The stocky non-com wasn't one of the exceptions.
Maybe.
Sucking death! Here comes that red-headed beanpole from the posse.
Sky was running in slow motion, her arms spread wide, like the long wings of an albatross. She was wearing precisely the same clothes she'd had on the day before.
Hey, Ryan.
She ignored Kelly completely, as though the non-com were a dead man. Ryan nodded to her.
You looking for Doc?
How'd you guess? Of course. Adam says we can go out tonight, and I want to tell Doc I'll see him real late, after dark snaking.
What's that? Dark snaking?
She touched her hand to his lips and held it there. In an uncomfortably arousing moment, Ryan realized that he could taste the young woman's body on her own fingers.
A secret.
Oh.
Adam up in the tower with our fat friend?
With the Baron? Yeah.
See you later, Ryan. Bye.
She headed toward the main entrance, floating like a multicolored bird riding an invisible thermal of warm air.
Bitch.
Yeah?
You tell Doc from me he'd do better letting a swamp scorpion get in... Hell, he can find out for himself. I'm through with advice.
Without another word, the sec man walked away from Ryan, vanishing around a bend in the winding path that led toward Paraglide Paradise. Ryan told Christy everything, sitting beside her on the bed in their room. Dean was watching the television, locked into a crackling vid about some dead crazies in an isolated cabin. Every time Ryan glanced across at the screen, there seemed to be heads flying through the air, or empty eye sockets, or severed hands coming through walls.
We gonna try and break out?
Ryan closed his eye, feeling a sudden wave of exhaustion. The whole place sickened him, with its patina of swift and evil corruption.
They may be getting ragged around the edges, but Larry's still got one of the best sec forces I've seen. Not easy to get away.
The gateway?
Might be our best chance. If it wasn't for,
He nodded toward the back of his son's head.
I'd think about hanging around a day or so and seeing what we could do about swatting the flies away from the Ville. Needs doing.
Dean didn't look around.
Why does Draven want me? He an ass fucker?
Dean?
You got good ears, son. The truth is, I don't know. That's what makes it creepy. Seems like Draven gets his kicks from dominating folk. His posse does what he tells them.
Let me go with him, and I can slit his throat, and then we get away.
Ryan smiled.
I reckon you could do it, Dean, but it's a triple risk.
Rona used to say all living's a risk.
True, but this is something special. If there was some safe place I could take you, then we could do something about Draven.
I don't want to lose you.
I know, but... Dean, go tell the others to come in here. We all have to talk.
Not our business.
They don't know about the redoubt. Lost in the woods. We can get out of the Ville that way.
No much like someone throwing me my blaster and telling me to get out, but the boy has to be made safe.
Incidentally, Larry gave me this radio. Worked on it himself.
Ryan pulled it out of the pocket of his long coat, the crumpled scrap of paper falling onto the floor. Ryan stooped to pick the paper up.
What is that?
Found it under that old cap just outside the gateway. Can hardly read it. Need a strong light.
Would you mind awfully if I made an attempt with my poor eyes on it? Thank you, Ryan, my dear fellow. Most kind of you.
JB took the radio, holding it as though it were a nugget of pure gold from the motherlode.
This is fabulous. You reckon that poor brain-dead lump of dripping put this together?
He said so. His place is overflowing with all sorts of techno-gear. Most I ever saw in one room. Said you can talk and listen over 2 or 3,000 miles. But I figure there aren't many people in the whole of Deathlands who got this kind of equipment.
The armorer was fascinated. He switched it on, flipping open a slot in the back.
Solar power. Larry's better than I thought. He really figures he's got that sort of range?
JB moved the tiny dial that controlled the frequency. He eased it along.
Well, it works. How about that, Doc? Walkie-talkie with the rest... Are you listening to me, Doc?
There was no reply. The old man had gone into the alcove where the wash basin and bathroom were concealed. He'd switched on the bright light over the tarnished mirror and was staring intently at the piece of paper.
Doc, what is it? You found something?
Doc turned, his face alight, his eyes wide.
Oh, by the three Kennedys! Did I hear you asking me whether I found something?
Yeah, what is it?
If my memory hasn't gone wandering off down Alzheimer Avenue, I think this could be a gateway code. Someone risked a fearful wigging for this sort of security breach.
You mean the code to make jumps to particular places?
JB switched off the little radio and threw it on the bed.
Only one or two that I can decipher.
Doc laid the paper on the flat surface by the basin, angling it to catch the best of the light.
Down this side are a sequence of numbers, each prefixed with the letter R.
Huddled around, they could all see that. R1, R2, and so on.